You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers Twitter Tuesday episode. This is your show, as we do every Tuesday. Get everything off your chest. What's on your mind following 49ers game? A big win this time, which is nice. Definitely changes the complexion of some of the questions I'm getting on today's show, and we will get into those momentarily. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Thanks for joining me, everybody. I am Brian Peacock, your host on this adventure. Many of you already know who I am. If not, welcome to the program. You can find me on Twitter, at BDPeacock. That's where most of the questions are coming from on today's show. You can also email LockedOn49ers at Gmail. The best thing about the Rams and the 49ers being somewhat good at the same time is that a little bit of a rivalry being rekindled. You know, the Los Angeles versus San Francisco Bay Area. The beat LA chants that we would have probably heard in the stands from Levi's Stadium if there were fans allowed at Levi's Stadium Sunday. Not as many big games between the Niners and the Rams recently as the Seahawks, but I think there might be a few more on the horizon. And potentially the next time the Rams and Niners play could be one of those. But that rivalry also making its way to the field a little bit, which makes things a little bit more fun. And Aaron Donald had this to say after the game. And I got a question from Ethan, who said, please talk about the Debo-Aaron Donald rivalry. I don't know how much this is going to linger, and you definitely don't want to poke the bear when it comes to Aaron Donald, especially as good as the 49ers did against Donald and as little as Donald made his presence felt Sunday. You don't want that to change the next time they play because he has a little extra fire under him. But this is what happened in the post-game presser for the Rams after the game when Aaron Donald was asked about how to defend the 49ers, specifically wide receiver Debo Samuel.
How do you prepare for a guy like Debo Samuel, a unique player? How do you game plan for a guy like
who?
Debo Samuel.
Who's that?
Love the saltiness from Aaron Donald. That's a press conference that comes after a huge L where Donald was pretty much kept at bay. And Debo's response to that on social media was perfect. It was a screenshot, and he said basically, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm 3-0 against you. See, but Debo Samuel hasn't lost to Aaron Donald and the Rams yet in his 49ers career. And you don't want that to start happening, so you definitely don't want to poke the bear when it comes to Aaron Donald. But I love it. I love the chippiness, and I love that the 49ers are getting under the Rams' skin. And that's what they did to Aaron Donald, was upset his mojo. And they've got to continue to do that if they're going to beat every team in the league, but especially the Rams, and thwart their best player. Got numerous questions about running back Jamichael Hasty. This one from Dan. He said, how do you see the running back depth chart moving forward while Mostert is out? I think it's clear that McKinnon should stay as third down back. Hasty looked nasty. Locked On 49ers. I don't know if he meant it to sound like it rhymed. Hasty looked nasty, but I think Hasty looked nasty. Works much better. Yeah, that's a tough question. And by the way, if you haven't heard the news, Raheem Mostert, high ankle sprain, those darn high ankle sprains. He's going to go on IR for a few weeks, it looks like. And yeah, and I think Jamichael Hasty is going to get huge run for the 49ers. And judging by the fourth quarter of the game, they let Hasty close that game out, which is surprising. Kyle Shanahan sticks to his guys, and Hasty deserved it. And Hasty deserves probably to be the early down back with pretty much McKinnon being the role that he had been in when Mostert's in there. So, I mean, and judging by the fourth quarter, where they let Hasty, the rookie, the undrafted free agent, close out the game after he'd only carried the ball a couple times in his career before that, and it wasn't McKinnon that was out there, I don't know. Maybe Shanahan's going to be okay with letting Hasty get at least 50% of the carries next week, and maybe more. It's probably the way it should be. He definitely has more burst. He definitely has a lot more juice than Jerick McKinnon does at this point. McKinnon, you probably want to trust him to maybe pass protect and be the receiver on third downs. I'm sure he'll get some run at running back as well, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if it's Hasty as the number one guy as far as carrying the ball on earlier downs for now. Then when you get Jeff Wilson and Tevin Coleman back, I have no idea what's going to go on with the 49ers. And you assume you're going to get Raheem Mostert back in a few weeks as well when he's able to come off of IR after, you know, 3 or 4 weeks or however long it takes for a running back to come back from a high ankle sprain, which might take a lot longer than, say, a quarterback like Jimmy Garoppolo, who's still not 100% himself but can go out and play. It'd be much more difficult for a running back to play in those conditions with a high ankle sprain. So, you know, it could be 6 weeks. So Hasty, I mean, I don't think Hasty could have gone back to the practice squad anyway after what we saw in the fourth quarter. So he was going to be on the roster. The question is, what happens when everybody's healthy on the roster? That is a tough question. I don't know, because they all deserve to be there. That's going to be very tough. I don't think you can carry five tailbacks, but Jermichael Hasty can't go back on the practice squad. You know, the secret is out with him now. In my mind, and judging by the last quarter of football we saw, Jermichael Hasty's the number one guy, and McKinnon's the third down back. And Hasty could be a third down back too. Like, he's got some receiving ability. So those two players are somewhat interchangeable. I don't know how they're going to play it. To me, it's pretty easy. You're going to give Hasty more carries, and you're going to ask McKinnon to do the things that maybe you don't want to risk a rookie doing and making a mistake in pass protection or something like that. So that's the way I envision it happening. I don't know if it's going to be that way, but the fact that Kyle Shanahan let Jermichael Hasty close out that game in the fourth quarter makes me think he trusts him enough to run him out there in whatever situation he needs going forward. Steve says, what advantage do you see McKinnon having over Hasty on third downs other than NFL experience as a pass catcher? Yeah, I kind of just mentioned it there. I think pass protection is probably the number one thing. I think concepts, being in the offense for a few years, even though he hasn't played a lot, McKinnon just has experience in the offense. He knows where to be. He knows when to be where. So I think that's pretty important. So an experience does play a big role in that, I'm sure. Ray says, which running back's getting cut once everyone is healthy, Coleman or Wilson? So he's just skipping Jermichael Hasty and saying, is it Coleman or Wilson that gets cut? I don't know. Maybe this is where the trade deadline comes in. The 49ers might at some point think, man, maybe we do have an extra running back and we can trade a running back to a running back needy team. I don't know. That would seem to be Tevin Coleman, I would guess, to be the one that makes the most sense because of what he's getting paid. And long-term, Wilson would be signed long-term into next year. So if you're looking ahead, you want to keep Wilson over Coleman. But at this point, and there's no trades happening, I would say maybe Wilson's the one that ends up getting cut, because Coleman is Shanahan's guy, and so is McKinnon. And Wilson, although he's been around for a while, maybe he could make it to the practice squad. I think Hasty would get swooped up before Wilson at this point, especially if, you know, there's another couple of games of Hasty and he plays a full game like he played in the fourth quarter. He's not going to be out there, and maybe you just lose whoever it is no matter what. So I would think that you could come up with some sort of a trade for Coleman or Wilson in that scenario. And there was another question, fantasy football related, about Hasty and McKinnon. Anyway, shout out to the listener that asked the question, should he drop Jerick McKinnon and pick up Hasty? I definitely think you should pick up Hasty. Everybody out there, pick up Hasty on your waiver wire. If it's a PPR league, maybe McKinnon's still more valuable if he's splitting carries and then getting all the third down work. So I don't know if I would drop him. If you have somebody else to drop for a week and try to figure out how this backfield usage is going to go for the 49ers, that would make some sense. So I don't know if I would advocate straight up dropping McKinnon, because it could be just the McKinnon show too next week. It's just hard to tell with Shanahan. You don't know how that's going to go. I might lead toward Hasty over McKinnon. The extra bit of bounce that we saw in Hasty's step versus what we've seen from McKinnon this year. But if you have an extra spot, definitely go out there and claim Jermichael Hasty off your waiver wire. An absolute perfect fit in Shanahan's offense and a dynamite speculative add for the rest of the season, because he could go crazy. I mean, it's just Shanahan running back. If he ends up being the main guy, that's a hugely valuable piece for at least a few weeks until Mostert's back and then Coleman's back, and then things get a little bit more convoluted. Hasty is nasty. All right, that ends the Jermichael Hasty portion of this podcast. I think maybe his name will pop up again, but a ton more questions to get into on this Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On 49ers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Refreshing sidekick for whichever game you're most focused on. I personally, paying it a little extra close attention now, got some more skin in the game this season with us keeping track of our picks on the Peacock and Williamson podcast every week. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day to become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. We got some trade proposals coming up here. A lot about Jimmy Garoppolo and the passing game. But since we're talking about depth chart with the running backs, let's go to the other side of the ball and talk depth chart with cornerbacks. Travis says, with Verrett and Mosley playing so well, does it make Witherspoon or even Sherman trade bait at the deadline? Doubt we'd get anything for Spoon, but a contender might give up a 3 for Sherman. Love Uncle Sherman, but I doubt he re-ups with us next year because of the cap. Sherman ain't going anywhere. That's definitely not going to happen. But Witherspoon absolutely could be somebody that a team could come calling for, and that the 49ers would absolutely be willing, I think, to... As the writing's on the wall, and he didn't play at all last week, and you could tell in reading between the lines that the team and Kyle Shanahan were not happy with Witherspoon not being able to play, but then saying he could play after the game was out of hand, when and how much bigger of a difference he could have made if he started instead of Brian Allen. And, you know, that's sort of, that toughness has been the thing that's been questioned with Witherspoon his entire career with the 49ers. So I have a feeling that they would be willing to do that once Sherman is healthy, but we don't know where Sherman is right now. And Sherman might not be healthy before the trade deadline happens to move him anyway. So how many weeks does it take for Sherman to get back? I don't know. The 49ers will probably stand pat at corner just because what they've seen can happen. You trade a guy, then another guy gets hurt, and then now you're in a terrible spot again, depth-wise, at the position. But yes, Verrett and Mosley right now look like a nice starting tandem of corners for the 49ers, and they're in a very good shape when those guys are out there. If they lose one more of those players, though, we see how south that can go. Now, there's multiple questions here about what happens when Sherman comes back with the depth chart, and he's definitely going to start. When Sherman's healthy enough to be active, he's going to start at the left cornerback spot, or, you know, they're kind of trading sides now, the boundary corner versus the field corner. And I really think it's probably going to be Verrett, but then that would give the 49ers an opportunity to start practicing for, you know, the full week of practice to get Emmanuel Mosley ready to play some slot. And if Kaywan is out and Sherman comes back, I would imagine all three of those corners are essentially starters again, and Mosley gets a lot of looks at slot corner ahead of Jamar Taylor. But they would have to have a week where they feel good about depth and they could practice Mosley there all week, because I don't think they want to shake things up and change two positions at once. And I talked about how, you know, it would make sense to maybe bring in Witherspoon to play outside when they go into nickel and then have Mosley kick inside, but that's changing two positions instead of just one. And it's been pretty clear this regime doesn't like doing that, and Shanahan and Saleh haven't been the types to change two positions at one time. And there's been a lot of thought about shuffling the offensive line in a similar way, and it's just not going to happen. When one guy goes out, they replace him with a backup in that spot, and they don't want to shuffle two spots opposed to just one. So that's the way I envision it happening, and Sherman's not going anywhere this year. Were they going to re-up him after the season? I don't know. I think showing more of the injuries, and we'll see how he bounces back from the latest calf injury, will have a lot to say about it. But unless it's a discount, I would probably be leaning toward no Sherman not coming back, which would mean the 49ers need to make sure they do bring back Verrett and Mosley as the starters, and probably have some other maybe lower level free agents coming in to compete with a draft pick there to add the depth at corner. That's the way I envision it going forward for the 49ers there. So speaking of trades, maybe if Sherman comes back and looks good, you got Verrett, you got Mosley, Kaywan coming back as well, you feel good just before the deadline, you could move someone like Witherspoon. Definitely a player who I think is 100% available. He has to be if he's a healthy scratch again. That is wide receiver Dante Pettis. And Joel says, what do you think Dante Pettis will fetch in a trade? 6th-round pick, 7th-round pick, a bag of chips? I don't know, Joel. I think he's valuable enough, and I could see him playing well elsewhere, and I think he's absolutely in need of, at the very least, a change of scenery and a new coaching staff, because he's still got some athleticism and some hands, and he can get open. And I think he could probably give somebody some depth at the very least and potentially resurrect his career that looks dead in the water right now with the 49ers. The fact they're holding on to him makes me think that they think that he's got enough valuable to bring back a pick. I can't see definitely anything more than a sixth and probably something more like a seventh or a conditional draft pick, you know, if he makes a team and doesn't get cut before the end of the year or something like that. Or maybe the 49ers are able to add Dante Pettis as a sweetener to another trade that they do if they're trying to add a piece. And with Ben Garland going out, that makes perfect sense that the 49ers would make a move that I'd talked about them making a move anyway, and that is for Alex Mack. And, you know, it's no secret that Kyle Shanahan loves Alex Mack. He brought him in Atlanta, big money free agent. He's going to be a free agent after this year. The 49ers are already without Weston Richburg, who now it looks like it's going to be a lot longer. This is the pup list week, and Blair's not coming off the pup list. Julian Taylor's not coming off the pup list, and Weston Richburg's not coming off the pup list. So I don't know. The Richburg injury could last the rest of the year. So with Garland out, I think you have to think about doing something like Alex Mack. Would Atlanta take, say, Witherspoon for Mack? Would that be something the 49ers would do? I don't know. It kind of makes some sense because Atlanta needs some help covering people. Maybe Dante Pettis could be part of that. I don't think the 49ers would give up anything high in value or a higher draft pick, but maybe a late round pick would make some sense for Alex Mack. And I don't think Alex Mack would be super expensive either. Look, Atlanta just drafted Matt Hennessy in the second round, or was it third? It was either late two, early three. And Matt Hennessy is someone I identified in the draft as a perfect fit for Kyle Shanahan's offense, similar offense there in Atlanta. And he's the heir apparent at center. Mack is going to be a free agent. His heir is in place in Atlanta. And Mack isn't playing at the highest level he's ever played. He's not hit prime Alex Mack anymore. So obviously familiar with Kyle Shanahan and the offense. So it makes the most sense of any possible trade I could see out there for the 49ers is trading for someone like Alex Mack who could plug right in and play center for the 49ers. Why it already hasn't happened, I have no idea. But maybe they're asking for too much. I don't know. Maybe Matt Hennessy's not ready to jump in there and play center for Atlanta, and they want to make sure they have Matt Ryan protected. But Alex Mack to San Francisco just makes way too much sense on every level. Kevin says, I thought I'd see more Charlie Warner in some blocking sets, but I don't remember seeing him. Am I wrong? I remember seeing Dwelly blocking, but no Charlie, and he was a blocking tight end in college, right? Yeah, Charlie Warner, and reports from camp weren't super glowing about Charlie Warner. There was a couple plays that apparently he looked good, maybe even looked better as a pass catcher than expected, but not as good as a blocker as expected. That's sort of the vibe I'm getting from Charlie Warner, and he's definitely way down there on the depth chart. I've seen Warner in games mostly on special teams, though, not as much on offense, and not really at all on offense. So no, I don't think you're wrong not seeing him out there. And Dwelly's missed a couple of blocking assignments, so maybe Charlie Warner does have an ability to jump on the field if he's been practicing well, but at this point, it doesn't seem like Dwelly's in any danger of getting passed up by Charlie Warner on the depth chart. And, you know, since there was no preseason game to really judge these players and since we haven't seen him on the field, I really don't know. Just going off a few training camp reports and that's about it. But obviously he's not doing enough in practice to steal some of those blocking assignments away from Ross Dwelly quite yet. Jeff just wants to throw a little shade the Cowboys' way. Says, as much as we could use an Arizona loss, how much fun is it watching the Cowboys getting thumped tonight? That's sent during the Monday Night Football game where, man, the Cowboys looked bad. Just got blown out by the Cardinals. Minus Dak Prescott. That was a team I thought could go either way. They're still in first place at 2-4 in the NFC East, which that division is just absurd. But I thought the Cowboys could rally without Dak. And, you know, what a lot of people said is the best backup in the NFL, having someone who started so many games like Andy Dalton in there. That offense was awesome the first few weeks. They were horrid. They couldn't get anything going on the offensive side of the ball, and the defense stayed terrible for Dallas, too. So that is not a good combination there in Dallas, and they just got completely blown out. And man, Kyler Murray, the way he moves, the way he runs, it's so hilarious. Sometimes he looks, just because of how short he is compared to almost every NFL quarterback we've seen our entire lives. And his short little legs and the way he runs, he looks like a peewee football player out there. So it looks like someone's kid got out on the field with in a uniform. But you can't tackle the guy. It's got to be so maddening to try to play against a quarterback like that. And the Cowboys had all kinds of trouble pretty much in every facet of the game on defense, as they have all year long. I don't know what's going to go on in the NFC East, but at this point, I might put money on the Washington football team led by Alex Smith to make a run and win that division. They're only one game out of first place right now. All four of those teams are really bad and playing awful. Maybe Philly's the team I'd put my money on just because they've got a quarterback in place. They've got a pass rush at least in place and a pretty good defensive line. If they can get some players healthy on the offensive side of the ball, maybe they can make a run. I don't know, though. That division probably doesn't even deserve to send anybody to the playoffs. All right, we got some questions about the passing game. Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy Garoppolo coming up on this Twitter Tuesday. Locked On 49ers. Do you want to keep your vehicle running smooth? Do you want to keep your family safe in that vehicle? Do you want to save some money? Then you got to go to rockauto.com. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Rockauto.com, you can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The website is no nonsense. I love it. Super easy to find exactly what you need for exactly your vehicle. And yes, your vehicle is covered. Unbelievable amount of vehicles from every make and model, dating back to since before anybody who was listening to this podcast was born. It's pretty amazing the selection that rockauto.com has. Everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, jumper cables, small, big parts, whatever it is you need a new tailgate, you need wiper blades, you can find it at rockauto.com. It's a unique and remarkably easy to navigate website. Their catalog is huge. Quickly find all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. And those prices, by the way, always reliably low. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com. Is anybody out there hitting a wall? I definitely was hitting a wall today before recording this podcast. I broke through that wall with Built Go. Built Go helped me get there, whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Go every day. Easy to take, 1.5 ounce packages. You can put it in your briefcase, you can put it in your backpack, you can put it in your glove box, you can put it in your golf bag. That's another place that I love to have a Built Go, is on the golf course, power you through the back nine. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's like an energy drink without the same crash feeling, because it's natural and it's better for your body. Three delicious flavors, peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein, fast absorbing, gets into your system quickly, and it's easy on the stomach. It's loaded with good stuff to ignite your energy, beta alanine, B vitamins, honey, and a little kick of caffeine. Go to BuiltGo.com. Use promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. Promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Aaron wants to know if Kyle Shanahan is getting envious of these young, athletic, big-armed quarterbacks coming out of college, kind of feeling like Jimmy's time won't be for long unless he makes the jump we all expected him to make. It's a good question, Aaron, and I have no idea how Kyle Shanahan feels about it, but I said all offseason long, Jimmy Garoppolo has to stay the same at worst, but most likely get better. And we haven't seen that yet, but he's injured right now. And obviously that game plan had a lot to do with Jimmy Garoppolo not being able to step into his throws and really torque off that back leg, especially. And we saw it a few times in that game. So how do you do that? How do you best utilize your skill position players that are so good at running after the catch? It's getting the ball in every other way. Basically extend the run game into the pass game, which is what they did. So I thought it was a great game plan. Kyle Shanahan, I would assume, would be frustrated because the fans are frustrated. And it's like, yeah, you can't complete a pass further than 5 yards down the field. I mean, how many offenses can get into the playoffs doing that in the NFL? The 49ers offense last year wasn't even like that. They did have some games where they leaned on the run in the playoffs, but man, they got to get Jimmy Garoppolo healthy, and they've got to stress teams a little bit, because, and you know, I mean, this matchup this week is going to tell you, because Bill Belichick is thanking Kyle Shanahan for putting that on film and showing him that offense, that version of the 49ers offense, because if anybody can come up with a way to stop that, it's going to be Bill Belichick. So it's the offensive wizard in Kyle Shanahan against the defensive genius in Bill Belichick in week 7. That's going to be a fun chess match if Jimmy Garoppolo still is somebody who I think they need to protect a little bit with the run game and with some of that short passing stuff. And maybe his high ankle sprain will continue to progress and get better to where, you know, in week 7 they can sort of unleash him a little bit and maybe hit him downfield on some things. But right now, yeah, that's the way it has to. Jeremy says, why throw the ball more than 5 yards down the field ever without how well it worked last week? I mean, it's a good point, man. If the offense could function like that every week, I don't think it can. I think that was a very special game plan, but I don't know if that's something you can continue to do and be that short in the passing game and that much of an extension of the run game. Justin says, the quick passes yesterday, would you say was because of the offensive line play so far or Jimmy's play with the ankle thus far? If a combination, would you say 50-50? Definitely both of those things. That's huge. That's why it was such a great game plan. So first of all, the talent you have on offense. You don't have receivers that are great at making plays down the field anyway, but they are the yak bros, right? They can all make plays after the catch. So get the balls in their hands as quickly as possible in every sort of way. Wide receiver spring, wide receiver screens, handing the ball off to them, jet sweeps, shovel passes, short passes. And then occasionally you break somebody loose. And that's what, on that fourth down play, that's what the Rams did. They brought everybody down. They had zero coverage out there. And then if you miss one tackle on George Kittle or any of the Yak bros, then they're off to the races and they house it, which is what happened there. So that's where the big plays can happen. So even if teams do come down and try to beat you there, maybe you can still get somebody loose and spring somebody in a run after the catch sort of a way. And look, it's not that different. The 49ers have always been a shorter passing team, short and intermediate over the middle of the field and run heavy, but that was really extreme. And I don't think Kyle Shanahan wants it to be that extreme every week. But protecting the offensive line was another big one. And maybe just a little bit of momentum for everybody too. So the line is feeling themselves a little bit more, smelling themselves, as I think it was D Ford said before the season. If the offensive line is feeling better, playing with confidence, Jimmy Garoppolo now getting a little bit more confidence and the offense just feeling a little bit more in sync going into the week, and then Jimmy Garoppolo's ankle starts feeling better, then you can sort of extend that out and start getting the ball down the field a little bit more. And then maybe the offense is off and running, but at this point, it's so condensed that it's going to, I think, backfire if you try to play it like that every single week. And we saw how difficult it was just for standard runs. And actually, they didn't run the ball that great, the 49ers, just with regular old standard runs, because, you know, you're going to bring everybody down and the defense is going to start to defend you in a certain way. It's going to make things more difficult. So you do have to spread things out. You do have to keep defenses honest. And my guy Kruger reminded me, he said, during the game, I thought of you, BP, because that throw down the field, and it wasn't open necessarily, but it was a one-on-one. Brandon Ayuk was covered, but he almost got the flag. Like, you saw the ref almost reach down to his belt and throw that flag and get that defensive pass interference. And good things can happen when you throw the ball down the field. Even if guys are covered, you get some one-on-ones, let a playmaker make a play. Maybe you get a penalty. So I don't think the 49ers are going to necessarily abandon throwing the ball further than 5 yards down the field, or should at all. But last week, it was a perfect game plan for what the 49ers needed. Now, do they have some momentum? Now, can they build on that is the question. And that'll be fun going forward. And if they try to do that again to Bill Belichick and the Patriots, it'll be very interesting to see how Bill defends it. Let's stay on the quarterback theme here. This one from Alexander says, do you think the 49ers will draft a quarterback this year? And if you do, what do you think about Kyle Trask from Florida? I feel like he will be a great fit. You know, and to the question earlier about a big-armed quarterback, I think in some ways Kyle Shanahan probably sees a big-armed quarterback and thinks, man, that would be really great and fun to have. But then the quarterbacks he scouts and the quarterbacks we know he's loved haven't really been that type of quarterback either. You know, they've been the traditional borderline noodle-armed West Coast offense-style quarterback. You know, Kirk Cousins and even Jimmy Garoppolo and even C.J. Beathard. A lot of people talked about his arm strength. His arm is just like pretty average. It's fine as far as NFL quarterbacks go. He's not like he's got this big cannon arm, even though maybe he's got a better arm than Nick Mullins. And for me, when I watch some of these players, I mean, you see Josh Allen and you see obviously Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, the way they can throw it and how much of the field the defense has to cover. And then when you add in athleticism and guys that can make plays with their legs and what that does to a defense. And maybe if Kyle Shanahan secretly does want to get the ball down the field a little bit more, but he's been drafting players to fit the skill set of his current quarterbacks, I could see maybe the 49ers doing that. I think the 49ers would be very smart to do all of their due diligence on the quarterbacks in the draft, no matter where they're picking. But if they're not in the playoffs and they're in the middle of the first round, it might be the year to go attack the quarterback position. To your specific question about Kyle Trask from Florida, I have not watched a lot of college players this year, and I've seen just a little bit of Kyle Trask in passing. And in fact, my Saturday is the only day off I have. And so I do a lot of family stuff on those days. And usually it's the one day of the week I'm not paying attention at all to football or anything. So I haven't watched a lot of college football yet. And I will ramp up that stuff in the off season. So I can't really answer about Kyle Trask specifically, but the 49ers definitely need to be scouting quarterbacks heavily and looking at that position in the draft for sure, and potentially even going up and trying to get a big-time franchise guy. Here's a good one from KP. He says, why doesn't Tarvarius Moore play more, especially when Tart went out? He's, in my opinion, the best safety we have. Okay, KP's going all the way over Tart and Jimmy Ward with Tarvarius Moore. And I get it. When the 49ers were down so many corners, and when Jaquaski Tart goes down last week, you're looking around and you're thinking, okay, get the best 11 people out on the field. And Tarvarius Moore is definitely one of those best 11. Yet it sounds like he's not going to get in there and play much unless Jimmy Ward's out. But I'm with you. Tarvarius Moore deserves to be on the field, I think, over Marcel Harris. Marcel Harris did nice, I think. Did a nice job in place of Jaquaski Tart. And sometimes Marcel Harris, a couple of plays that really stuck out last year, he gets unfairly scrutinized by some fans. But I'm with you. Tarvarius Moore deserves to play. And are they just going to keep him around, a third round pick that's so physically talented, they're just going to let him be a backup his entire career after re-upping Jimmy Ward? I don't know. It would seem like they would have some other plays and use his versatility to their advantage and have him on the field a little bit more. So kind of curious about that myself. And maybe with Tart being out and they'll have a whole week to have Tarvarius Moore practice. Again, it was like what I was talking about earlier. Maybe he's just practicing at one spot. Maybe now you can have him practice at strong safety and he can play some reps there instead of jumping him in there in the middle of a game when Marcel Harris had been taking reps at strong safety all week. And I think that's the reason why we didn't see Tarvarius Moore in a different role a couple weeks ago, because the 49ers expected Akella Witherspoon was going to play. And then at the end of the week, it was too late to have a new player like Moore, say, practice and play some more corner, or Jimmy Ward to jump in and play some nickel and then have Ward play. You know, they just thought it was going to be a certain way all week. So they practiced it one way. And instead of just throwing Moore in there, even though he's played corner in his career and he knows the defense, they went with the practice squad guy, which I still don't agree with. But that's the reasoning, I think, for the coaching staff. They don't want to throw someone in a position that hasn't been practicing that position all week. All right, got some more questions here that I'll hit with Nick on another Winky Wednesday episode, some tweets and some emails as well. Didn't forget about you emailers out there. Be back tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.